7:23, sitting in a studio with us now is Northfield's City Administrator, Ben Martin. Morning, Ben.
Good morning, Jeff.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. You have had a busy couple of days here. Two meetings in 2 days for the Northfield City Council, and yourself, of course, being part of that, being part of the city. We've got last night with the preliminary tax levy. The night before that, the council had a meeting with the Charter Commission. Let's start off with that and give us kind of a report of what's going on there. Was that in regards to any one particular issue or?
Yeah, it was really focused on one section of the city charter. Again, mm-hmm. as a charter city, it kind of is our constitution, I guess, for the community. It gives us more flexibility than a statutory city has as far as how things are structured. So our charter commission is basically charged with reviewing it, proposing any amendments that would go into place, and then the city council would have to affirm those. There are other processes to do amendments. But charter commission has been working probably a little over a year on just looking at various sections on their monthly meeting. I think last year, about this time, they had brought forward a proposed amendment related to the section under the mayor's duty. It's kind of a cleanup item to try and clarify some language in that as it relates to the mayor's duties to review kind of an additional kind of check and balance, I guess, on the operations of the city. The city administrator is the primary administrative officer of the city, but it does empower the mayor a little bit more to kind of study the operations of the city and report any neglect or dereliction of duty to the city council if they find any of that in their day-to-day activity. So the language kind of got into some technical language, and they thought it could be clarified. Should the report be mandatory? Should the review be something that the mayor reports on every year? Currently, the way that it's written, our interpretation is it's more of a reactive thing. They're kind of reviewing it. If they find a problem, they have a duty to disclose it, but there's not kind of a reporting mandate. So the Charter Commission thought it would be a good idea to actually require a formal kind of report that would be done. The council rejected that last year. They brought back some more amendments this year with a different language, met with our attorney and I to identify some of the potential private protected data that could be of concern on that review. So that was all addressed. So the council and the Charter Commission met jointly on Monday, talked about a few different scenarios. I think we had five different alternatives to kind of do it. Good discussions, a lot of differing opinions on it. Talked about things like, should it be more proactive? Should we do an operational analysis? Have a professional come in and do a review every 2 years was one scenario that was proposed. That way it can get at efficiencies, best practices, and would likely also identify potential problems. Also some discussions about that as well. That could cost some money to have a professional too, versus the other argument that, well, what should the mayor review? And if the mayor doesn't have that technical experience of kind of going in and doing a probe professionally, how does that work? So a lot of good discussion on it. Ultimately, the Charter Commission does meet again, I think, next week. So they'll probably reflect back on it as well. So I think the council gave some input, turn it back to see how they kind of make sense of it and see whether we bring back any other amendments. They brought it forward this time more as a discussion. Mm-hmm. They had an alternative amendment rather than like, it really puts into event, if they propose a formal amendment by ordinance, we have hearings that we have to schedule, the council has a certain period of time, then they have to respond. So it kind of creates this really tight window to act on it. So they took a different approach and said, hey, why don't we talk about it first, see what you think about these amendments, rather than going through all that process, and there's cost involved doing publications and things. So,
Matt, are we overthinking this? It doesn't seem like it should be nearly that tough.
Yes and no, I think.
That's an unfair question to ask you, and I apologize for that, but yeah. that's more of a comment. Boy, we're going through a lot. It seems like, do you want the mayor to report or not? Yes or no? If not, vote it down. Move on to the next thing.
Well, I think there are some intricacies on that mm-hmm. they got into on the pros and cons and the reporting of it. Ultimately, in order to do amendments, it does require a majority vote of the Charter Commission, and then a unanimous council, a vote of the council, and you have to have every council member available at the meeting. So that's not an easy task to get that done. I think it's intentionally done that way so you aren't tinkering with it a lot. Mm-hmm. There were some people who said, we don't think anything's broken with the way that it's written, so why not just leave it as well? So a lot of differing opinions, I guess, whether or not there could be some compromise language that comes forward. I guess we'll wait and see. But they're focused on it. You know, we spent, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe that night working on it. not something you want to jump into. So I guess I'd rather spend the time discussing it rather than creating something that maybe has other problems later. So.
Yeah, right. All right, let's move on. Last night, city council met, and the big thing was the preliminary tax levy. Why don't we just start with that? That's the big item on the agenda last night. You kicked around anything from 4.9% increase to a 9.86% increase. And it turned out to be, you know, the mama bear of the three, the 7 point right in the middle there, that the council ended up voting on. And it was a 5-1 vote. Let's talk about that process. You guys talked through a lot of different things.
That's right, Jeff. This is a process, and last evening was another milestone. This is the point in time where you can set a maximum levy. So the total property tax levy spread across taxpayers in the city is a fixed dollar amount that the council sets. So that's a fixed number. So they can decrease it after this point in time in before final adoption in December, but they can't increase it. So they set that maximum lid on that. Good discussion of the council. This is our probably fourth heavy budget meeting that we are. We had three prior heavy budget work sessions that we had that kind of led up to this, as well as our audit that happens in June. So last night the city council did set that maximum amount. Our total property tax levy citywide is about $8.9 million. Mm-hmm. That does include a portion that goes to our economic development and our housing and redevelopment opportunities to try and encourage housing and economic development. Those were approved last night along with that total resolution. So the one where the council landed at would put us at about $600,000 increase that we would have as a preliminary levy increase. So the total citywide would go to about $9.54 million if it passed. So the city council, in their discussions, to translate that to a, as we presented last night, kind of a median valued home in the community that we're anticipating for 2019, is going to see about a $79 increase if they did that, or $7 a month. So that's about 7.2% increase that they would have. We have values kind of fluctuating. But the council's discussion, as far as our base number, we are looking at 4.9% that would kind of keep our staffing basically at current levels. But we have been debating the possibility of needs in our police department for some officers, streets and parks operators to help take care of our street and park system. And then last, looking at beefing up a little bit our communications person from part-time to full-time as far as staffing that we would have there. So the council, in their discussions, I think, on going to that little bit higher amount, that middle number, they wanted to have flexibility to be able to have discussions on policy related to should we have those positions, shouldn't we? They'll have more ongoing discussions with that, as well as doing some public engagement going forward. But it does set that maximum that they can work within as they go into the final levy in December.
A couple of questions on the levy is that we had mentioned actually three, the EDA and the HRA levies as well. Are those all combined when you get your property tax? If you're a homeowner in Northfield, you get your property tax statement. Is that all one line included with Northfield, or are those all separate?
I'm trying to remember now. In it depends on the community, and I can't remember if it's itemized. For our purposes, it's all kind of combined on what we certify to the county, so I believe that they're in there.
It's all
rolled into one.
I was thinking it was two. Okay.
Yeah, so... but technically, the Economic Development Authority and the Housing and Redevelopment Authority have their own powers, so they technically adopt their final budget. Certainly, the council reviews and weighs in on that, but the council ultimately approves the money that they get to spend on their activities. So historically, the city's gone to there's a statutory maximum for those, how much you can give based on kind of your values as a community. So Northfield's historically gone to that maximum amount for those entities. So it translates to about a 5% increase based on those value increases that we were projecting at the time that we set this. So you're looking at each one of those about $250,000 roughly for each entity that they have for operations.
Okay. Once again, City Administrator Ben Martig is with us. We are talking about the proposed tax levy, which was approved last night at 7%. You had mentioned some expenditures, additional employees. The 7%, that would cover all of the wish list as far as additional new employees would go?
It wouldn't cover. It wouldn't be able to fund all of those positions. It would be able to fund a portion of those. So basically, they could probably fund about two of those, depending on which ones you pick. There are different costs for different ones. So.
Okay. And the council will go through that process and decide which one.
Right. Okay. Or if they want to do it at all. So that we kind of have the list of which ones do they want to add, don't they? That's basically some of the options that they have going forward. One thing, too, to keep in perspective that even though the levy's at 7%, the property taxes are only a portion of our overall revenue sources. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that's driving that, too, is that our, if we, even if at that 7% amount with those extra positions on what we're looking at for a levy increase, you're really only at 4.4% increase in our overall expenditures in the general fund. So part of that's because our other revenues are either flat or decreasing. So they're pretty flat, slightly going down on all of our other revenue sources. So it means that other property tax revenue really has to pick up that full amount of the expenditure increase. So our expenses, again, are up about 4.4, even though our preliminary levy is at 7.
All right. I want to move into, are we done with the levy? Do you have anything else you'd like to mention about the preliminary tax levy?
I don't think
levy?
So. The budget just kind of followed along with the adoption, and our next budget work session will be in October, and we'll be putting some summary information available for the public as well as far as which option was adopted.
All right. Let's talk about the right-of-way management that the city talked about last night. There are, see if I have this right, because I'm really kind of confused on this one. There are cell companies, cell phone providers that would like to add new structures to the city. Is this, I don't know if this is part of the new 5G move, or explain what you're being, this council was asked to do last night.
That's right. So the state of Minnesota adopted new regulations in 2017 that basically set out pretty narrow definitions of what are allowed for small cell wireless systems to go into a place. For the most part, they'll probably be co-locating, like on, could go on street lighting poles or on power pole, or I guess maybe some power pole, certain types of power poles, or they could have their own standalone system, but I think a lot of it could be co-location. Like Dave said, they're somewhere around, if you kind of imagine on a look, kind of on the upper part of a pole, it'd be like stacking, the look of it's maybe like stacking like 6 to 8 pizza boxes is kind of, I think, what it looks like as they tried to explain that. But it does have to do with the new technology to basically beef up, have more powerful, you know, cell services available to people as they move more and more to these growing technologies. So the state basically outlined requirements as far as permitting. They have a certain amount of time that you have that that cities can establish. They do allow you to do permits, but it's pretty narrowly focused on what you can or can't deny the permit for. The state sets the maximum height for installation. The cities can establish some extra regulations as it relates to historic and residential districts, including like conditional use permits for that. So the state outlines basically 23 general conditions and 7 additional conditions for the small cell wireless facilities that they can, that you can place on that. So they typically be on those poles. So basically the city, if the city does not pass some ordinance, it would basically defer back to state statutes. Most of our ordinance is just simply conforming with what the state says, but there's a little bit of local control with that. So, including rental fees that we can collect and some other details as it relates to right-of-way management. So it's very technical. We had a lot of discussion on it, and I think it was trying to get our head around what is the technology, what does it look like, what are the state regulations, what can we do. But so this is only a first reading of that, so they introduced it. I think we're going to have quite a bit of changes and more robust discussion the next time to try and simplify, I guess, the explanation of what exactly it is and what the regulations are going forward.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the technology, too. I can understand a few pizza boxes being around a light pole, but how many are they looking to put one in every corner? Is just one on one section of town, another on another section? How many do they need to fill out the town of Northfield?
Well, we did have I don't know that answer directly, depending on the carrier, but we did have Verizon Wireless representative in last night to speak on behalf of their client. And they indicated, I believe, that they were looking at six installations throughout the entire community to be able to put these in. They have a pending application that they're going to be looking at bringing forward. So that might give a little bit of perspective on size and scope of what you're looking at. But I think that's a good question, probably one that we could bring back the next meeting to try and explain that more.
Timeline, when do you think we might start seeing this? Is this maybe a 2019 thing? Is it still this year? Is it 2020? Do they have a proposal yet on when they'd like to have this implemented?
I think sooner than later would be the answer to that. So I'd say it wouldn't be unlikely that you would see something yet this year, for sure next year, to see these things moving forward.
All right. Lastly, let's move into the banners. There was discussion on banners, and Terry was telling me about this this morning, the Public Works banner policy. Now, this is for the banners that we see, like, on light poles here downtown that promote either downtown or defeat of Jesse James days or whatever. Is that what we're talking about?
That's what we're generally talking about, is the streetlight banner poles, and right now they're only in the downtown.
Okay. Is what type of policy are we looking at here? Is there a policy in there now? Do they just happen? Are we going to expand on this in the future? Where's that going?
Yeah, about a year ago, I was asking all those same questions because we have an interest that Northfield Downtown Development Council has an interest in updating some of our banners, and so that kind of kicked off some discussions about, okay, well, what's our policies on it? What's the process we go through on the banners getting reviewed and approved, because they are on public property and the streetlights are there, and banners are there for a long time. They're a big investment and certainly help kind of give a pop and look to your downtown, so you want to make sure it's done well. But there was no policy, so as we looked at it, the Public Works, I think we adopted maybe seven or so policies last night on the consent agenda. This was one that we're taking a little closer look at, so this is the second time the council's taken a look at it. But basically just looking at indicating how often we change them out, you know, what's the review process if new banners are proposed. It does kind of say, too, that if new ones, let's say another part of town wants to add banners, when we get this policy adopted, they'd have to go to the council and get approval for that. We have our own staff that does all of that puts up the banners currently, so it does take time to do that. They are typically, in some of the cases, paid for that time. So, like, we have the colleges, when they put theirs up, we do get compensated for that. But we do get spread thin on other overtime with our staffing just in general day-to-day, and there is maintenance costs that we take on as a city's responsibility. They have special bracketing and things. So kind of outlines the technical components of that. And then we've created kind of a design committee through a subcommittee of the Arts Council that would basically, is what we're recommending, would be kind of the design review of it, make sure it's appropriate, and then maybe have some public information on it before they're actually ordered and put up, so that we know that the community's on board, that it's got some artistic look to it, and it's something we can be proud of. So it just lays that out. It's probably something you just do naturally, but if you don't have it in writing, you got to kind of reinvent the wheel every time. So just get it in writing, have it kind of clarified what the expectations are, and if people want to add them, here's what you do. So I think that's part of it. We also talked a little bit about some of our guiding document goals, about where are they now and should we tweak that or not. So I think with that, too, we'll probably have the council adopt a specific map, too, that says here are the areas for these types of banners that we want them to be, to kind of blend in with our overall strategy of streetscaping throughout. The downtown in particular is the only place with the banners right now. So that's really what it's about. You know, it's taken a little bit more time than maybe we would have liked, but on the other hand, once you kind of do these things, hopefully they go into autopilot and you can just follow it after that.
All right. Sounds good. Lastly, you have a couple of events you'd like to promote quickly?
Yeah, continuing to do our bicycle and trail system updates. So we're doing a number of public meetings. So tonight at Greenville Park Elementary School from 6:30 to 8:30. Come and check it out. Things looking at things like the route for the Milltown State Trail Project, identifying gaps in the city on sidewalks and trails that people maybe observe. And then next week on Tuesday evening, too, if you can't make it tonight, we've got one at the 50 North NCRC building in City Hall in the evening. So check it out. If you can't get to those meetings, you can participate online as well. So go to our website for that. And then lastly, Friday evening, we have our International Day of Peace celebration, and it's going to be a great event. Bill McGrath is our MC for that, 6:30 to 9 o'clock. If you don't want to stay till the full time, you can come and go as you like. And there's going to be a number of speakers, a little short film, and so check that out. We've posted it on our Facebook page, and hope people can make it to that as well.
Sounds good. Ben, thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Ben Martig, Northfield's City Administrator.